What's up, gentlemen? This is Rising Phoenix Podcast, a podcast about how to rise up after your divorce. I'm your host, divorce coach, Michael Rhodes. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the show. This is episode 133. This is going to be another solo episode. I'm going to cover a few different things. First, let me start off by saying my apologies for not getting one out last week. I've been fairly consistent with putting one out a week, but my work, travel, and home life kind of caught up with me. I was going to put out one that I had recorded already, but it's an interview one, and I do like the sort of pace or pattern that I've been keeping. So I wanted to wait until I was able to do a solo one. So here I am. I'm not really sure exactly what I'm going to call this one or what sort of the main focus is. I think perhaps it's letting go or moving forward or staying stuck, some of that nature. I've just been thinking a lot about, you know, I've been doing this for about 4 years now, and I see some patterns that repeat over and over, or I see some guys that get stuck and have a hard time moving on and moving forward. And I see those posts pretty frequently, and those bother me more. I shouldn't say more than anything, because I think it's the negative, I hate all women ones that bother me the most. But they really bother me because I feel like it's an unnecessary punishment in a way, maybe. I don't know. I'll get to my thoughts on it, but it's, you know, it breaks my heart too. You know, guys that I've seen, you know, go through this journey and turn out pretty well, and guys that I've seen who are just sort of stuck, and you know, maybe it's because they were in a certain headspace in a particular moment and they felt like they were stuck, or they felt like they haven't made any progress. But I don't know, but either way, it's you know, frustrating, but not in a like I'm upset with them. Just frustrating in that I really want to see them take steps forward. I really want to see them progress and move on in their lives. And I'm going to talk about that. So one of the things I think that sort of keeps us stuck is that we get comfortable. And that can be in anger. We can get very comfortable in our anger. We can get very comfortable in our sadness. We can get very comfortable in the ups and downs even. A lot of times I think comfort is what drives us more than desire. I think if we really had the desire to get better, we would seek out the uncomfortable. And I'm not saying like that if you are not getting better, or if you feel like you're stuck, that you don't desire it. I just think maybe perhaps you desire the comfort of the status quo. And I'll get to a little bit more about some of that. But I think my advice to you is, if you feel like you're stuck, lean into the uncomfortable. Or I actually think it's better to look at it as lean away from the comfortable. So if you're angry frequently, that you're very comfortable, and you're very comfortable there. And I can say to you, you know, lean into the uncomfortable, but I would say it might hit home more if I say lean out of the comfortable. So if you're very angry, try to find out why you're angry. Try to get beneath that anger. Try to get to your sadness and your pain. If you're lonely, lean into going out and seeking out friends and groups and hobbies and things of that nature. So I would say lean away from the comfortable. If it's comfortable for you, more comfortable for you to sit at home, then lean away from that and go out and seek out people and push yourself to do things, because it's the only way you're going to make any kind of a change. And I think a lot of times we really do get stuck in that comfort of whatever we've leaned on for our entire lives. You know, a lot of us, I think, get stuck in the comfort because it's safer. It's easier. If you're an angry person, it means you probably haven't really dealt with pain throughout your whole entire life. And so it's easier for you to remain angry. It's more comfortable. It's more natural. And so I encourage you to lean away from that to if you want to heal, if you want to grow. If you don't, then I mean, I can't imagine that if you're listening to this podcast or watching this podcast that you're not trying to get better. I can't imagine that. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why the fuck would you? I mean, I'm not covering current events or talking about music or what is this, some kind of the shit that Joe Rogan talks about or covers. I don't do that, right? This is all about divorce, you know, and mental health and fitness and things of that nature. But essentially, it's all about divorce. So I got to think if you're listening to this, you really are looking for a way to get better, to get through it. So, but I want to talk about, want to sort of transition a little bit into talking about sort of regrets and patterns. So if you're comfortable being sad, let's say, and beating yourself up, that's comfortable for you. You don't want to move forward. I shouldn't say you don't want to move forward. It's harder for you to move forward because you're comfortable in sort of beating yourself up, this pattern of calling yourself out. And I think it's okay to have regrets. It's okay to wish you would have done things differently. I wish I would have had the skills that I had today. I wish I would have been a better husband at times. I wish I would have been a better communicator, but I don't think that makes me a bad person. This just means I had bad habits. And if you feel like your comfort is a pattern of I was 100% at fault or majority at fault or whatever, then it's you're probably going to never move forward because you're stuck in that comfortable pattern of blaming yourself. And this, again, if you're not in therapy, for God's sakes, get into therapy. This all goes back to your childhood. So these patterns, whatever it is. So if you're an angry person, it's probably because that was the only thing you were allowed to express as a child in your family. If you were sort of an introverted person, I mean, there's a whole probably host of reasons, but it could have been because you were ignored or whatever. And these patterns we can get stuck in and locked in. Regrets are okay. They're healthy. They allow us to figure out what can we do better going forward? Because none of us are perfect. We absolutely had a hand in our divorces and the demise of our demise of our marriages. 100%, 100% is 50%. You know, 100% that you were 50% at fault. But there's power in that 50%. So if you can get out of these patterns and look more at the mistakes as singular, then you can take actions to correct those things. If you think you're just a bad person or whatever, or shitty or irresponsible or whatever, right? You're going to stay stuck because that's comfortable. If you're telling yourself that at 30, 40 years old, 50, whatever, even in your 20s, like that doesn't happen overnight. That comes from a pattern of being talked to and then talking to yourself in similar manners. But if you can see these moments of mistakes as simply not having the right skills or just not having experience maybe in how to deal with certain things or how to be in a healthy relationship, this can allow you to then say, okay, well, what are those regrets? What are those mistakes? And what can I do to correct them? This puts you in the driver's seat. And one of the other things, the last thing that I kind of want to talk about in this particular episode is, I know this is true for me. I think this is true for a lot of us. When you see people that are a couple of things, either they've made a lot of strides and they're better, quote unquote, whatever that means to them, they're better clearly. Or if you see someone moved on into a new relationship, or if you hear people say it gets better, or anything around there being a positive around this, it can be and feel very, very invalidating. Like, okay, so I was in a lot of pain. This was very hurtful. Maybe I'm still in some pain, but you're telling me it's going to be okay. Well, that sort of means that it wasn't that significant, or it shouldn't hurt this much, or anything of that nature, where it just feels invalidating. Like, you know, people say, you know, it gets better, or, you know, the kids are going to be okay. They're resilient. Oh, I used to fucking hate when people would say that shit. kids are resilient. Yeah, well, how about we just not put them through shit? How about that? That seems like a better move forward than testing their resiliency, right? And so those types of views and those types of things are, they can feel very invalidating. But the truth is, this is a process. And that's one of the things I was going to focus on initially when I started thinking about this episode. I was going to focus on the process of not the five stages of grief, but there's another one. There's stages of betrayal trauma, I think it's called. It's seven of them. And it covers various things. If you're in the Discord server, you'll see there's channels set up for each of the seven things that you go through. And it's a process, and you have to go through that process. And the eventual hope is that you get to a point where you're healed, you're good as best you can be. I still think there will always be lingering hurts with this scenario, with divorce, with especially if there are kids. I think that there are things that will linger, but I do think that we can get to a better place. But that, especially when you're in the beginning, I think that feels so invalidating. Like it shouldn't hurt, or you're wrong for hurting. Let me be fucking clear to any of you out there. You're not wrong for hurting at all. And I think the hurts do last, but I do think this is an opportunity to be a better man, to dive into yourself, to work on those things that, and listen, you have to take the things that were said about you at the end of the relationship, whatever her list of reasons were, you have to take that with a bit of a grain of salt because they're biased in their view, right? We've covered this before, episode, I think it's 90, where I talk about, how could she do this? It's because her story has changed and she has to make sure that you're the villain in the story. And so much so that she's leaving you. That's, it's fuel to leave. So that's important for them, and that's necessary. But there are nuggets and kernels of truth in what they say when they leave. It doesn't mean, even if it's okay, speaking about myself, she didn't really say too many things. Honestly, she just fucking left. But I know one of the things for sure was that I didn't communicate, right? I'll make it a simple version. As I'm sure all of you know, I gave the silent treatment. And that's just what I knew. That's how I survived as a child. But anyway, I know that is, there's a nugget of truth in, you didn't communicate. Well, yeah, you know what? She's right. It's not that I wasn't capable. It's not that I didn't want to. And in a lot of ways, it was just, that was just not what I did. That's just not what I knew when it came to dealing with conflicts. I knew that if I just ignore it, it would fucking go away. Yeah, spoiler alert, it doesn't go with fuck away. It fucking feels like it, but it doesn't. And so that little nugget of truth allows me to then focus on something I can work on. And I'm still fucking bad at it. There's a conversation I have to have. I'm getting better. There's a conversation I absolutely have to have in the near future with someone, and I'm sure it's going to be fine, but I am very apprehensive to have this conversation. I'm going to, but it's not easy for me. It's a conversation where it's possible I might hurt someone's feelings, and my feelings might get hurt, and that's like fucking kryptonite to me. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and I don't want to get hurt. Because when I spoke up for myself as a child and sort of tried to stand up for myself, I was physically a little bit, but certainly verbally just, you shut the fuck up, you're a fucking idiot, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about type of stuff. So when I have to have these conversations that I know are going to be difficult, I always go to someone's going to say some shit about me that's going to be very, very hurtful. And it's kind of funny though, because the opportunity to say some hurtful shit to me is ripe, right? Like, listen to this podcast. If someone wanted to, and people have, there were times when I struggled with it, but if someone wanted to attack me or verbally say some really mean shit, they certainly could. So I'm not sure. Maybe this is part of the growth, right? Maybe this is why I'm doing this, is to work on those things. So people have reached out and said some mean shit, and I usually just ignore them. But I will say that they're easier to ignore than someone that I know well or trust or love. So it's a challenge, but it's my challenge, right? And so I'm aware of this so I can work on it. And how do I do that? Well, therapy, number one, read books, you know, talk to people that are close to me and explain and talk to them about this stuff and ask them, well, what do you do? You know, Chris says he sits down and he takes notes. Like, what could they say? And what would I say to that? And like, he dives in. I don't know that I have that in me. Probably should. But so that's a strategy. That's a thing. That's something I could try. And if I talk to other folks, they might have other suggestions or advice or tips. But if I just buried my fucking head in the sand and said, ah, she's just a fucking cheating whore and she left and it's all her fault, then I would lose the opportunity to be a better man, to be able to gain the skill to have a difficult conversation. And that's a skill we should all have. And honestly, a lot of us don't have it because we're not taught it. No one teaches you this shit. No one sits us down in any point in school, in any school. I mean, I guess maybe there's some psychology classes in college and whatnot, but no one says, well, this is, if you need to have a difficult conversation, this is how you do it. No one taught us that. No one taught us that our anger is a shield and a mask typically. And that it means that you're probably hurt about and bothered or upset about something, you know, in a painful way rather than you're just pissed, right? No one taught us any of this. But we do have that opportunity now to learn about these things. And so I find comfort in that. I find solace in that. Like, well, it's for my growth, for my betterment. Then that's, again, it feels invalidating to say this. It feels like, it's no big deal. It's for you, man. This is a good thing. I know that this is a process. And if you're at some point in that process where you're not ready to hear that, I completely understand. If you're saying, when you hear shit like that, fuck you, I totally understand it. But I promise you that if you embrace that, if you do take on this mindset and mentality of this is a process and it leads to better things, then it can. But there are moments, especially in the beginning, but sprinkled throughout, where you're not going to feel like that. And that's okay. Just learn to express it. You know, over the last few weeks, I've seen a ton of really good discussion, and I've heard got some feedback on some really good meetings. I haven't been able to make a lot of Wednesday night meetings in the Discord, but I have been doing the Thursday night book club with a couple of guys, and I've been getting good feedback, and I've been having good meetings. We've been covering the book Attached and talking about attachment styles, and that stuff is fucking it's gold, and it's not just for yourself. When you're expressing yourself in a place like our Discord server, it's also you're giving to others because it gives them permission to also express themselves. And it creates this sort of, I don't know, this atmosphere or this environment of just expressing and leaning on one another. And that's okay. I know that there are a whole lot of folks that think that this is, you know, feminine or it certainly isn't manly, and we just need to swallow our feelings. But the one thing I lean on pretty heavily is 105 men every day in the United States of America kills themselves. And I don't think it's because all of a sudden men are getting feminized. Fuck out of here with that dumb shit. It's because we don't know how to deal with our emotions and feelings. You know who do? You know who's pretty good at that stuff, who doesn't kill themselves at a rate of 105 a day? Women. I'm not saying we need to be women. I'm just saying if they have a particular skill set that is working for them, maybe we could lean on that a little bit and learn from them. Again, I'm not saying we need to fucking become women at all. They could learn a fucking thing or two from us, and some of them do. I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about masculine and feminine, masculine is essentially, I'm boiling it down because that's what I like to do, is taking action, is doing something. Well, when you fucking leave a family and leave a marriage, that's doing something. I'm not saying it's envious, but I'm saying that some women have the ability to be masculine. And I think it would behoove of us to learn some of the feminine skills, because the bottom line is we're all masculine and feminine. We don't exist without the other. Yes, we're dom. I'm a man, so I'm more masculine potentially. And some dudes aren't, and whatever. I don't give a fuck. Teach his own. But I don't think it means you're a bitch if you know how to address your hurt rather than make it anger. Listen, we're men. We're tough, right? Yeah, but we got tear ducts, right? It is possible for us to fucking cry. It's not like it's like we're learning how to give birth here. We're talking about the doing something that we already have the ability to do, the physical ability, and that's cry. So, I realized that if and I think I've said this before, I'm sure that I have. If this podcast was centered around telling men that it's all women's fault, I would be way more successful or popular than I am. I'm aware of this. And it sucks in some ways. You know, I've noticed there's some things that have changed in terms of the way Apple is doing their downloads, but and I don't know if this is a timing thing or coincidence or what, but I've noticed since my interview with Dr. Glover, my numbers have taken a bit of a dip. And I don't know if that's because of that interview, potentially, or just the Apple. So what Apple has done is when someone, and I may have this wrong, but from my understanding is in the past, when someone found my podcast and followed it, immediately all the episodes would download and show as downloads. So, and that's at this point is a lot of episodes. It's 130, about to be 133 of these motherfuckers. But now I think it's only when you actually listen. I think that's the way it's working. And so it could be that is why I've seen a dip in numbers. I don't know. But there's a part of me going, maybe it was that interview. But I got to tell you, I care because I'm curious, but it doesn't mean I'm going to change who I am. I just don't see the value in telling you that it's someone else's fault and that you did nothing wrong, because it doesn't. I just think for the betterment of my fellow man, society, that if we look at our flaws and work on them, that's just better for everybody. So that's all I got for this one. Pretty quick, I think. I really don't know how many minutes I've been doing it. It doesn't tell me. But it was really kind of on my heart to talk about sort of guys that are stuck and being in the process and sort of trusting the process, and sometimes it's going to suck, just plain and simple. But if you just lean away from the comfortable, lean into the uncomfortable, trust the process. And when you're in a certain space, name it. So, study those seven. If you have betrayal trauma, study those seven stages and recognize, oh, I'm in this one. There's power in that. You sort of name it to tame it is what they say, but there is power in that, knowing where you're at. And then knowing, I said I was going to wrap up. I do this a lot. So bear with me. I promise this is the last thing. I've noticed about myself for sure, and I think we're all like this. When I am in a certain state of mind, that affects everything, right? So if I'm in a bad mood, it affects everything and how I see the world. But here's what I have learned. And of course we know this, right? But again, name it to tame it. We don't stay in any state for that long of a period of time. If I'm pissed off, chances are for sure the next day I'm going to be in a better headspace. It could be, it's a lot less because I've learned to tune into my body. I've learned to find out, okay, where am I? And more importantly, where I want to be, what do I need to get there? I do this every morning. Where am I at? This is a new thing that I started along with all the other things I've been doing to try and sort of move myself forward. Where am I at this morning? Where do I want to be? And how do I get there? What steps can I take? And if you can do those kinds of things, if you can check in with yourself, know that it is a process and you're in it, and it's in some ways never ending, although the roller coaster does flatten out, and the dips and the dives and the climbs do level out, but it's always possible to come back around. And if you know that this is the process, and when you come back around to say depression or anger, you'll know that you're just you're visiting, you're not staying, you're just stopping by to deal with this for a little bit, and then you're going to move on. So that is all I got for you. Thank you sincerely so much to all of you that listen, to those of you in the Discord server, to Jared and Justin for running meetings in my absence, in my sort of inability in some ways, on in some days for sure, to keep giving. I can't always give, and those guys are saints. I'm sure they wouldn't want me to say that, but they are invaluable to the group of men that are in that Discord server. I can't recommend it enough. If you are really struggling and you're stuck, join that fucking Discord server, join those meetings, get into that group of men that we're all, they're all dedicated. We're all dedicated to moving forward. That doesn't mean that no one's in there not having a bad day or not sad or not depressed. It just means that when that person does, and especially if they go to meetings, they get support, they get validation, and there's nothing better than that. So until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Thank you so much for watching and or listening. Since my separation in July of 2019, I have done an incredible amount of work on myself. I've had many different therapists, life coaches, and went through different programs. I've taken all that I've learned and put it into my own program called Forged by Fire. If you are interested in having me help you navigate your divorce, please hit my website, risingphoenixdivorcecoach.com. I look forward to working with you.